Thank you, Jesus. You realize that in his presence, all things are possible. In his presence, all things are possible. In the moment that you're feeling weak, all things are possible. When we were worshiping this morning, one of the songs, the lyrics said, "Let the heroes rest, let the striving cease. I lay down my crown here at your feet." And I don't know about you this morning, but sometimes I get to striving. I get to trying to figure out how he could love me and set me free. I get to wonder why he loves us. And all I have to do is let the striving cease. To take off my crown and lay it at his feet. God wants to do something in here this morning. And as Elaine is playing now, I want to stay in this place for a moment. Because he's here to heal. He's here to set free. He's here to touch your hearts. Because he loves you. Not be because you're great, because he's great. Not be because you're perfect, but because he is perfect. And his love for you is perfect. Some of you today need to let the striving cease. Let go right now. Right now is the time to let striving cease. And know that he is good. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When we sing, "I long for you," diligently seek him. "If you seek me, you will find me." The Lord said, "If you seek me, you will find me." I don't know about you, but I don't want to long for long. I want to long for the day of redemption, the day when he comes again, but I don't want to long for long. When I call his name, I know he's here. And so, Father, now I just thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you that you really are a good God, that you really are all we need. I thank you, Lord. Father, open our hearts now in Jesus' name. Touch us by your Spirit and your Spirit alone in Jesus' name. Father, be the words that leave my mouth in Jesus' name. God, that you would be glorified in this place in Jesus' name, that we would go out and glorify your name in the streets and the highways and the byways, that others would know that you are God and that you are good. Be glorified today, Lord. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Father, your presence is so good. Your love for us is so good. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to sit in this place. When I get in the presence of God, my face leaks. There's tissue somewhere. Oh, it's dirty. Thanks for a dirty tissue. That's how the two have become one flesh. You share dirty tissues. That's love right there. Oh, thank you. That might not be enough. No, I'm joking. I'm going to try and, as every Sunday, try and keep it together. Every chance I get to be in the presence of God, I don't care. I don't care. What does it matter what you look like when you're in his presence? Because you know what he sees? He sees his son in you. He sees his original creation in you. He sees the ones that he loves in you and in me. I joke with a few of my friends about how much sometimes I cry during service. I won't name any names. Some of them are very tall. But there's something sweet about worship today. There's something, God wants to do something today. I have notes and I have a word I want to bring, but there today is a day for salvation. Today is a day for those of you who have even felt like maybe you've wandered away a little bit. He didn't stop loving you because you stopped looking at him. He never takes his eyes off of you. Today is your day. And at the end of service, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to God tugging and calling on your heart. There's some of you in here today that already God is pulling on you. He's tugging at your heart. He's pulling on you, not because of anything other than the fact that he loves you and he wants to spend eternity with you now. That he wants to let you know that you're loved. That he wants to let you know that everything is going to be okay. Even when it doesn't look like it. Faith is an interesting thing when we lay a hold of it, when we declare Jesus as Lord and Savior. We've never met him face to face like the disciples. We've never stood before him face to face. Now, some of you have probably seen him in visions and in dreams. I've met him in multiple occasions in dreams and one time in an open vision. And the reality is that he is always there because he loves you. Because he loves your neighbor. Because he loves the people you don't want to love. Because he loves you when you don't want to love you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much. When I saw your face, I saw the light of Christ. Because he loves you, and he's just calling you home today. Today is the day. He loves you. Don't matter what the past was. The past means nothing. Today is the day for salvation. He loves you then and he loves you now. And he's never going to stop pursuing you. And he's never going to stop loving you. Because he loves you. And then you get to carry that love everywhere you go. It's already in you. Just receive it by faith. He loves you. He loves you. I don't want to keep saying that, but it's just in my heart. Someone else in here needs to know that he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. I can feel the love of God in my heart right now. It's overwhelming for how much he loves you. Just let him wash over you. Let him touch you right now in the name of Jesus. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He loves you. He loves you. We're going to take this opportunity and just let the love of God wash over you. If you're a longtime believer, let the love of God wash over you. We don't always have it when we think we have it. We always need it. He's all we need. He loves you. He loves you so much. He loved you so much that in those dark places where you feel alone, he's there with you. He's loving you and he's calling to you. He's pulling on you and saying, this is not your portion. He loves you when you feel you don't deserve it. He loves you when you're with your friends and you're making the wrong decisions, but you know you should make a right decision. He's there with you because he loves you and he's beckoning you to come home. Because he loves you. I was reminded during worship how much he loves me. I long for him. But he never leaves me. I had a tough week up here, not out here, in here. Some of you battle this every day. The battlefield is the mind. The Bible tells us that. But he loves you. In the midst of the fight, he loves you. You don't have to figure it out because he loves you. If you're one of those that gets stuck in your head, I want you to close your eyes right now. And I want you to lift your hands to heaven. And I want you to say, Jesus, I know you love me. Jesus, I love you. Say, Jesus, I love you. Say, Jesus, I love you. Say, Jesus, I love you. Say it like you mean it. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. He loves you back. And I speak to those hands raised right now, and being caught in your mind is no longer your portion, because you are a new creation. We heard it during worship. You are a new creation in Jesus' name. Take every thought captive. You have been free. Not will be, not someday. You have been free. You have been made new in Jesus' name, because He loves you. Because Jesus loves you. His love is enough. His love covers a multitude of sins. Some of you have been doing some things you knew you shouldn't be doing. But He loves you. Love covers a multitude of sin. He loves you. He's paid for it already. He loves you. Today is a day to come to Him, to repent, to come back, turn your face back to Him, and let Him know how much you love Him in return. He loves you. He loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Say, thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your love that we didn't deserve. Say, thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus, for the love we didn't deserve, but you gave your Son for us. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you took us out of darkness and conveyed us into your light. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your love. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Do you sense His presence, saints? Do you know that He's here with you? What sweeter place to be than in the presence of His majesty? In the presence of His majesty. 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 Thank you, God, for your love. For your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed, but alive in your hands, because your majesty. Could we sing that? Majesty. Has His grace found you?
Empty-handed, but alive in your hands.
Majesty. Majesty. Forever we are changed. God, your majesty. Your blood changes everything. Oh, the blood of Jesus changes everything. It heals you. It saves you. It washes you free from sin. Oh, for the cross. So we can come before you and lay it all down because you are majesty. Majesty. Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty.
Forever.
Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty. Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty. Forever you are changed. If you're not feeling like you've been forever changed, now is the day. He's here to meet you face to face. Forever you are changed. Not forever for a moment to change back to. No, forever you are changed. You are born again. Born of a right spirit, right standing with God. In Christ Jesus, by faith in Him. You are forever changed. You'll never be the same. He loves you. He loves you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, there's a place we can come to where we don't have to wait for a Sunday morning. Josh talked about it. Maybe it was that a week ago. You can get in the atmosphere, in the presence of God whenever you want. He's still here. I just know there's something heavy in my heart to share with you that I want to say to you, but I can't avoid the reality that God shifted this morning for His glory. Maybe to some of you it may seem strange, but that's okay. You believe in Jesus, you're already strange. You believe in a man that was fully God and fully man that came over 2,000 years ago to die, to set you free, to bore you again in the Spirit. You're a weirdo. But you're not alone. I wish you could see the love of the fire of the eyes of God that I see right now for you. I had this probably the most notes I've ever written in my entire life for a sermon by a landslide. If you knew me, most of my notes are usually about like that. And I still don't even look at them most of the time because I don't really care to say what I think needs to be said, but I care to say what I know He wants me to say in the moment. And for some of you, it might not always make sense. For me, it doesn't always make sense, but I know it's Him. Because I'm not that smart. I know He's here because He loves you, because He sent us today. And I, at the end, I just want to, you know, without Christ, life sucks. Pardon if I'm going to be frank with you today. Without Jesus, nothing's really that great. It's a lot of striving. It's a lot of working. It's a lot of emptiness, frustration. It's a lot of different things. And it may seem good sometimes for a moment. You know, they make drugs nowadays that try and make you feel a certain way, and it lasts for those people for a moment. But when you're in Christ, it's always. The world tries to fabricate something that they can never experience short of Him. But we only get there by faith in Him. You know, yesterday, I took a motorcycle ride. So for those of you who don't have a motorcycle, this is my pitch to you to get one because it's awesome. I've been riding motorcycles since I was in the Navy. That wasn't so awesome. I was probably doing a bunch of stuff I shouldn't have done. You know, all the crazy stuff. I may share a story or two. I don't know. Did you know you can ride a motorcycle side saddle? Did that once. I could turn like that. But when I would flip my legs over the handlebars and I'd ride like this. I had a Ducati 800 Super Sport, so it wasn't like a slow bike. Beautiful Ducati red. Man, that thing was sweet, Jeremy. You should have seen that thing in its heyday. Dude, that thing was a serious machine. And there's another thing I used to do. I figured out how to get my feet up on the throttle, and I would cruise down the highway like this. Leaning back on my motorcycle. My foot was holding the throttle at about 80, 90 miles an hour. Any slower than that, it was a little sketchy. And any faster than that, it was a little sketchy. And as we were riding yesterday, I had the privilege of borrowing a friend's bike, and it's a bit wider than to my liking. I like to really dip in the corner. Even at 40 years old, I still like to like get in there, you know? Maybe I'm an adrenaline junkie. I don't know. I might be. I'll just go anywhere to where Jesus tells me to go. So maybe I do like the thrill of something that I don't know. But that's the realities of faith in which we walk. And the funny thing about riding the bikes yesterday, we had a blast. It was gorgeous. There's so many beautiful roads around this area. Have you ever just driven around? For those of you who aren't bike riders, get a bike. And if you still don't have one, just ride around in a car out 44, New Paltz, all the way out into the mountains, all the way up in Windham, Catskill, all the way Westkill and Lexington. And shoot, you could go all the way out to Hobart, Stamford, all those places. Wow, look at me. I actually know places. But you can, it's beautiful when we're riding, but there's something that hit me yesterday. So while we're riding, I got to tell you this story because I really want to share with you something about what God showed me yesterday in our ride. Now, I'm not going to say what everyone was doing on our ride. Two wheels is usually preferable while riding a bike, but sometimes one works. But there's something in science called velocity. Does everyone know what velocity is? What is velocity? Speed? Speed and time is not quite it. What is velocity? It's speed with direction. Speed with direction. So yesterday, as we're dipping down in a corner, I'm going at a specific speed with a direction. Even in your car, you're driving your car, you're going at a specific speed with a direction. Now, oftentimes that direction on a highway, I'm from Kansas, so on a highway, this is your direction. And just so you know, that will last about that way for about 7 hours. Just like that. 75 miles an hour. Here we go. Every once in a while, you get the exciting this. And maybe a little bit of this. But other than that, it's just dead straight. You could draw a line with a ruler, and that's Kansas Highway, I-70 through Kansas. If you've never done it, do it. It's creepy awesome. There's so nothing there. That you feel like my wife, I call it, what do they call it? There's a name for it. It's inverted claustrophobia, but it's the same feeling, right? You feel claustrophobic because there's nothing there. My wife really struggles with driving through Kansas. Good thing I'm a fun time in a car. But velocity is speed with a direction. And so while I'm driving around on the motorcycle and I'm talking to God, a little bit annoyed because I hadn't had the fullness of the word come into me for today. I'm always asking God, what do you need to hear? I don't care what I have in my head. What do you need to hear? And I begin to see velocity, speed, and direction begin to unfold. And I've got to unpack this very fast, so I hope you bear with me. But there's velocity, speed, direction. Speed, direction. What God gave me to show you is that faith is speed. Faith is speed. And I'm going to read to you, I just quote it, but I'll read to you Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. To get to a place where you receive that which you hope for, you have to move. Does that make sense? Bear with me on a little bit of Jared reality here that God gave me. So if you hope for something, it's something that you're believing for that you're not at yet, because you wouldn't hope for something you have. You have it. You don't need to hope for it. But when you hope for something, it's out there, and my only ability to get to out there is to project myself in a direction. That makes sense? So faith is speed. Some of you drive faster than others. I used to drive very fast. I still drive fast, but not as fast. Some of you can relate to that. Some of you can't. Some of you young guys don't break the speed limit. I'm looking at you, Grant. But the truth is, some drive faster than others. Well, let's read about that. The Bible says in Luke, actually I'll go this way, Romans 12:3, I got a few scriptures, so Romans 12:3, it says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's a whole different sermon. But to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So you all have speed. You have a measure of speed. Now, the disciples in Luke, I don't know about you, but sometimes I want more speed. Like the bike yesterday, I would have more speed would have been nice. I mean, it still went fast, and my wife goes, mm-mm. I remember when I wanted more speed one time in North Carolina. That was insane. 175 miles an hour. No gloves, no jacket. Stupid. I'm not glorifying it. I'm giving a lesson to the young men in the room. Don't do stupid things. Don't do stupid things. I'm amongst family. I got to have a little fun here. So Luke, so we learned that everyone has speed, right? Everyone has a measure of faith. But then also in Luke, the apostles ask for more faith, right? This is how Jesus answers them. Luke chapter 17, verse 5, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. How many of you want more faith? Do you ask for it? Yeah, don't. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So the speed at which you have, aka the faith measure in which you have, is enough for what you need to do. Jesus didn't say, okay, I'll give you more faith because you're hungry for more. He said, what you have is enough. Jesus said, what you have is enough. Some of you think, oh, well, I'm just not, you know, I can't be a missionary, or I can't be a pastor, a preacher, a prophet, evangelist. I can't lay my hands on the sand. I lack faith. No, what you have is enough. He's given you a measure that he needed you to have. And he's not going to give you more when he asks for it. So what is your portion then? Let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says this. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So how do you get more faith? Hearing. But do you get more faith? When I was thinking about this really challenged me. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So I was in I think I shared that. I can't share that. I don't want to share the same stories over and over, but faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So you have speed. You have faith, which is your speed, right? You have it. All of you have it, whether you do something with it or not. That's a different question that I'm going to confront you with a little bit today. But you have a measure of faith. So you have speed. You have all that you actually need because he said, you have enough. You don't need more. You've got what you need. You can activate it by participating and agreeing with what God has already said, but you're not actually getting more faith. You're learning to use that which you were given. You actually were given a gas pedal that you can use at your discretion, and if it were me, drive fast and take chances, as I learned from a very wise lady one day years ago. In Christ, you have all you need to go as fast as you want towards Him the way you should, but it's up to you to exercise. How do you exercise? Get in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Why the Word of God? Why faith by hearing? Because you learn what you already have because He gave it to you when you were born again, born of the Spirit. You're perfect and complete, lacking nothing. He's given you all things pertaining to life and godliness. So use the gas pedal. How do you do that? Exercise your faith. Now you got to get in the gym. I know some of us don't like to do that. I used to. You couldn't drag me there right now if you tried. I'd probably enjoy it and it's going to be good for me. But what I'm talking about is the gym of God. You ever seen those old shirts? They're old school. Look, Jesus on a cross, ripped blood everywhere. He's tore up, muscles popping, got a cross on his back in a bench press position. And it says, bench press this. What is he bench pressing? The cross. He's bench pressing the weight of your sin off his back because even your sin couldn't hold him because he was perfect. And then he bore you again in his perfection because you are in Christ. The whole purpose of this that I'm going to get to is that you're in Christ Jesus. But you have to believe that you are who he says you are and received what he said you received to use the speed in which he's given you to go in a direction you should go. We've got to get a hold of the fact that we have what we need. Ishmael has everything he needs pertaining to life and godliness, and he can go as fast or as slow as he wants towards the Heavenly Father, towards eternity, towards everything that he's been purposed and planned to do since before he was in his mother's womb. He's got it all. His only way of getting to it was to receive Jesus. But he's got it all. Faith is speed, right? I'm doing not so good. Direction, okay? So direction is the other part of velocity. So velocity is important because it takes you somewhere at a certain speed and you got to get somewhere because God's called you to do some stuff, otherwise you wouldn't be sitting here today. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. He's got something for you to do, and he wants to do with you if you choose to partner with him, which is only by faith, which gives you speed towards that which he's given you to do. Does that make sense? I'm talking fast. I'm in New York. I got to talk faster. I'm from Kansas. Goodness, we're slow over there. So speed, direction. What's direction? As I begin to read and pray and meditate on it, direction is nothing more than your position. If I'm facing this way, guess what? And I apply speed, I'm going this way. That's my direction. If I'm facing this way and speed is applied, guess what? I'm going this direction. And on a motorcycle, if you've ever never ridden one or want to learn how to ride one, wherever you look, your bike's going to follow. Just so you know. When they teach you about turning, sharp turns, they don't say, look at the turn you're in. They say, look beyond the turn where you're going. And funny enough, your body will naturally follow suit. It does. It takes a little practice, but it does it naturally. Why? Because we naturally follow the direction we're looking. If I'm driving a car and I'm going down the highway and I keep looking over here at the guy next to me because he's got a cool car and I like his sound system, I'm trying to figure it out while I'm driving, I will slowly creep into his lane. Some of you twitch so you go faster than I would, but you know what I mean. Like you're going to end up over there eventually if you keep looking that way. Wherever your head is facing, that's where you will go. That is your direction. That is your position. So we have velocity. We have speed with direction. We have faith with position. What is our position? Let's read that. Philippians 3:14. Philippians 3:14 says this. Should have brought the glasses. I brought them. Are they there? That's all right. I'll get it. Yeah, let me cheat. No, I got it. I got it. In Jesus' name. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So what is your position? Pressing forward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What's your position? Pressing forward the upward goal of the upward calling in Christ Jesus. What's your position? To press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. How do you get in Christ Jesus? With your speed. By faith. You only get in Him by faith. And while you're in Him, He gives you direction. See, the two are married together. Velocity has to have both speed and direction. For us to be in Christ, we have to have both speed and direction. We have to have both faith and direction. What is our direction? Looking at Him, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Some of you have dreams and aspirations and goals, and you're never going to quite be able to quite get there unless you change your direction. For years, my direction was on life. You do life. That's what you do when you don't have Jesus. You do work, you do jobs, you do whatever you do. There's really actually no direction. It's why people that have everything are still lost. You ever hear that? I was lost. Even in Christ, we were lost until He found us. Hello, you're lost. You have no direction. You may have some form of velocity, but you have no direction whatsoever. Some of you came in here today, you have plenty of speed, no direction. Some of you have plenty of direction, no speed. Some of you don't exercise faith one iota, and I'm here today to tell you to stop it. Get with God, get in His Word, and exercise your faith. Step out. Trust that you hear His voice. When you received Him, He sealed you with His Holy Spirit to guide you and teach you. He's not mute. He speaks to you. Are you confident that you hear Him? Maybe not. So learn how to do that. How do you do that? Get in His Word. Because if He tells you something that lines up with His Word, guess where it probably came from? And if not, get with some of the, don't take this the wrong way, older people in the church that have walked with God for decades. That you know, they know that they hear from God and learn from them. Get in Rich's classes. Get in David's classes downstairs. Get in these classes and be a part and listen and learn and hear because you need direction. Some of you need speed. I'll stick my size 13 foot in your backside and kick you right out the door. I'll give you speed. Right down a set of stairs into the mission field. I'll throw you right out that sucker. I practiced when I was in the Navy. I bounced on the side for a living. I know how to chuck somebody. I'll put speed to you with direction, in fact. So if any of you lack speed and direction, come see me. I'll entrain some to you. Entrain is one of those scientific words that just means I will put my force into you and you'll react from my force. Anyway, that's a whole different subject altogether. Position, direction. Position, direction. You have speed, you have direction in Christ. I'm going to read a few statements that come around the reality of direction or position. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by speed. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved Himself and gave Himself for me. I live by faith in God. So I have faith in Jesus Christ. I have speed now with direction. Now I can go somewhere. Now I can actually do something. Now I can be effective. Now I can do what He's called me to do. Now I can make an impact. I can carry the atmosphere that Josh talked about last week. I can be who I'm called to be, the light of Christ everywhere I go because I have speed and I have direction. I have speed because I'm going to walk by faith, not by sight. And I have direction because I know my only opportunity to do that is through Jesus Christ, the Lord, who gave Himself for me that I may be free and serve a purpose. Romans 6, nope, reverse my order. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. In Christ. Where's my direction? In Christ. I'm made alive how? In Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Are you understanding that your position should always be in Christ? Your position should always come from a place of in Christ. I'm feeling depressed. Get in Christ. I'm feeling sad. Get in Christ. I'm feeling like I don't know what to do. Get in Christ. I'm feeling I don't know where to go. Get in Christ. In Christ. In Christ I have all things pertaining to life of godliness. In Christ I have access to cast out demons, raise the sick, heal the dead. Heal the sick, raise the dead, whatever that goes. In Christ, I have that opportunity. In Christ, I prophesy. In Christ, I lay hands on. In Christ, I baptize in the Holy Ghost. In Christ, I do these things. And so do you, or so you can. Romans 6:11, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Your only ability to be alive in God is in Christ. In Christ, position, in Christ. Ephesians 2:6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I didn't even read the main scriptures I was going to read today. But let me surmise it for you. From Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through 26. And it's that in Christ, by faith, you are right standing with the Father. Not through a priest, not through a preacher, not through your spouse, not through your friends, not because you just come and sit in a pew or chair. It's only by faith in Jesus that you're seated in Christ. I heard something really cool the other day as I wrap this up. So if you want to read that, it's Romans 3, verse 21 through 26, for those of you taking notes, which should be our portion in church on a Sunday morning. But here's an interesting thing. I was listening to, I like the old preachers. I just do. I like some of the old timers like Kenneth Hagin and some of these other guys. There's Charles Capps. Angelo's been listening to. He's amazing. You know, it's not that I, you know, I take everything to the word. It doesn't matter how big a man of faith is or woman of faith. Like, take it to the word. No matter what I say here, take it to the word. Please. But the reality is he was saying something. He's like, you know what's interesting about faith? And He was talking about the reality, like how many of you have looked at a, well, how would I do this, recipe book? You ever looked at a recipe, tried to make a new recipe? I have. Made some like Mediterranean chicken once or something, didn't we, in California? It was good. But you ever sit next to a professional chef? Have you ever met a professional chef? It doesn't have to be like some big star on TV or whatever. Yeah? I can't see your faces very well, so yeah? Hands, help me out. Yeah, okay. So you've eaten. My wife has a distinct privilege of ruining me, because her whole family is like littered with literal five-star chefs, like professional chefs. Like, you eat a prime rib and it melts like butter in your mouth. It's like, seriously? It's like cheating, right? So when we got married, she's like, this is terrible. And I'm like, what? You can't say that. It's food. Just like, eat the food. Like, I'm Navy, right? I was in the military. You eat what is there and you eat it quick because someone may steal it, you know, but you eat it. Tastes like the tar off the bottom of a car tire or something. It didn't matter. You ate it anyway. You know what I mean? Some of you don't know what I mean. You have to know what I mean. Some of you have eaten food and you're like, this is terrible. And it's probably your friend's cooking or your parents maybe even. You know what I mean? But you can't say it. Or maybe you should, I don't know, but my wife would. I got her. I got her, Ernie. So, but my whole point being is that her uncle, who was a professional chef, and he made some phenomenal food one day, he sat right next to me, right? And he could teach me how to make this prime rib, and I would not do it as well as him. How many of you know that? You can actually have everything you need, all the ingredients, all the cookware, the right stove, the right smoker, whatever the case may be, and you can still mess it up. Why don't they mess it up? Practice? Love? Training? Experience? All these are valid responses. And they're all true in the natural. Jesus doesn't need training. He doesn't need practice. And he's given you the one tool you'll ever need, the Holy Spirit. You want to learn how to make good food? Ask him. You want to know how to move with velocity and complete all the things that he has for you? Ask him. You want to know who to lay hands on, when to lay hands on, who to pray for, what nation to go to, what project to do. You want to know what class to attend or what to say to the person who comes up to you at the counter? Ask him. But you can't do it without faith. And you can't do it without looking at him. See, Jesus was the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus was the Alpha, the Omega. He's the first and the last, and he came from the beginning to set you free. And he didn't set you free to then just sit in a pew on a Sunday morning and do nothing. He came to set you free so you can go ye therefore, so that you can preach the gospel, so that you can heal the sick, raise the dead. And I know that some of you think that maybe that's in the past. Well, it isn't, because I lay hands on somebody and they've been healed recently, Pastor David Cordeau. That happens, doesn't it? It's not dead. It didn't die with the apostles. Otherwise, the Spirit of God died with the apostles, and it didn't. The Spirit of God did not die because the Bible stopped being written. The Spirit of God was given to you, sealed your heart, sealed who you are, to bore you again so that you can have velocity and direction for the rest of your life while you're on this earth to complete all that he's given you so that you can glorify his name and so that you can be free now, not later. Do you believe it, though? See, I can give you all the ingredients. Pastor Josh, Pastor Elaine, your teachers, Rich, Diane, David, Noli, they can give you all the ingredients, but without faith, you're never going to bake the bread you were meant to. Didn't he say that when we're hungry, he gives us bread to eat? I'm about done if you want to come, if you wouldn't mind. But didn't he say he would give you bread to eat if you were hungry? He'd give you water to drink if you were thirsty? Which I am. Could I have my water real fast? She's getting me back for blasting her like that, didn't she? He said he'd give you bread to eat. I have a question for you. What did he tell you to do? What did he tell us to do? Take care of the widow and orphan? Feed people? Clothe people? Heal the sick? Cast out demons? Did he say to love one another? Did he say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength? Let the heroes rest. Let the striving cease. I lay down my crown here at your feet. It's all done by faith. I think today some of you, probably including myself, I know including myself, we come in carrying our crowns. Look what I've done. Look what I have. Look at my family. Look at where I'm at. See, I'm here on Sunday. I think right now is an opportunity to lay your crowns. at the feet of Jesus. You know, I was, while we were worshiping, maybe it's the old school Pentecostal in me, maybe it's the house I was raised in called Kingsfire Church, I don't know, but I believe that today is a day of response. I'm going to make some of you uncomfortable because I want you to be uncomfortable because you need to lay your crown at Jesus' feet. You just need to be honest with yourself. If you can't be honest amongst family in the house of God, who are you going to be honest with? Honestly. It's a lot of honesty. But if you can't, you know, it would look something like this. I was in the Navy, not walking with Jesus. And there's a saying that you curse like a sailor. It's a real saying for those of you who've never been in the military because it's what we do. And by we, I'm not saying everybody, but when you're not saved and you're in the military, that's what you do. You swear, you do stupid stuff. But we got to lay our crowns at Jesus' feet. So I'm going to show you what it looks like. And then I'm going to ask you to respond as God touches your heart. And if you don't, no judgment. And if I'm the only one up here alone, hey, it was for me. And you know what? At least I was listening. But it looks something like this. While Lane's playing worship, there's a reality that we need to lay our crowns at Jesus' feet. For me, of recent, and by recent, within the last few days, I said some things I shouldn't have said, not towards my wife, just in coarse jesting. Not who I am. I didn't even like it when I did it. So I'm going to repent, and I'm going to lay my crown at Jesus' feet. Because I lost my position. I still had speed. I'm not going to lack faith. But I lost my direction. I didn't keep my eyes where my eyes belong. I got caught up in joking. And it's not my portion. I'm not talking about being perfect. Good luck with that. Oh, by the way, you were made perfect in Him, so you are perfect in the Spirit. So walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Christ Jesus, you are perfect. Your spirit is perfect. But we make mistakes. Can we be honest? That's all I'm asking you for today is your honesty. And if you've realized that you've made some mistakes and God's touching you, or maybe you haven't received Him yet, and I'm going to do that now. So let's bow our eyes. Let's bow our close our eyes and bow our heads. You know what I mean. And if you are here today and you've never received Jesus, or maybe you're here today and when I was telling you that Jesus loves you and you felt His hand hitting your heart, I want you to raise your hands right now just so I know who you are so I can pray for you, believe for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I see your hands. I see your guys' hands. I see your hands, your hands. I see your hands and your hands. So I want you to pray with me. And saints, I want you to join with me. And we're going to pray a prayer of salvation. So just repeat after me. And if it's your first time saying this prayer, maybe you've said it before and you're coming back to Him, I just want you to say it with your full heart and full faith, with speed and direction. Are you ready? Say, thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. And you've set me free. You're the Lord of my life. And I give you all that I am. I receive you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody give a praise to God. There's some people that came to Jesus today. Now, for the rest of you, I want to worship. I don't know what song she's going to play. It doesn't matter to me. Because she hears from the Spirit of God. She knows how to be led and directed. She has velocity. But some of us need to regain our velocity. So if you want to join me in a place where we say, Lord, here I am, forgive me. Forgive me. I know you've already forgiven me. Jesus already did it. But I need to redirect myself. I need to reposition myself so that my velocity is in the direction and the speed that it needs to be. If that's you here with me today, I just want you to come up front. I'm going to ask for a response for the first time in a long time. If that's you, just come up here and join me. There's no shame in the household of faith. There's no shame in the house of God. It's okay to admit you're not perfect. It's okay to admit that I lack, that I'm weak, that I make mistakes, but it's also okay to respond to him when he's saying, come, my children, come, my children, come, my children. Come and lay it at the cross. Just come and lay it at the cross. Before him now, I may lay hands on one or two of you, but that's not my goal right now. My goal is for you to be honest before the Father, to be honest before Jesus, and whatever you have, whatever you're carrying, to lay it down right now. There's some space up here if you guys want to come up. There's some more space up here. Come right up to the altar. I don't care. Come unto the altar. It may have been old school, but it needs to be new school again, in my opinion, in Jesus' name. We got to be willing to respond to God's anointing, his glory, and what he wants to do. So for those of you standing in front and those of you sitting down that you know God's speaking to you and you know he's touching your heart and you just can't seem to get your feet to move, there's a couple of you right now, just begin to move your feet. Stand up and begin to move your feet. And if you still are afraid, perfect love casts out all fear. It's okay to sit there. But believe with those who have come. That right now that God's going to touch them, that he's going to set them free, that they're going to come out of this place different than when the way they came in, that they're going to begin to love in a new way in the name of Jesus. So let's worship God and let's pray. For those of you in front right now, I want you to join with me. Say, Lord, here I am. Forgive me for where I've done wrong. Thank you, Jesus, for setting me free. Now I want you to take a moment on your own. And out of your own mouth, I want you to speak. You don't have to say it loud. You can say it to yourself. But I want you to hear your own audible voice of what you're letting go of today, what you're repenting from today, what you're laying at his feet today. It's got by your confession. I can lead you all you want me to lead you, but you've got to do it. You've got to apply the speed to get the velocity. You've got to put the gas pedal on today to get the velocity. So those of you up front, I want us to begin to worship so they have their own privacy. And I want you guys to actually be honest with God and just confess. Just confess right now in Jesus' name. Just confess right now. Just like I confess to you, I want you to confess to the Father. Confess your sins. Confess what you've carried. Confess what you want free from. Be honest with God right now in Jesus' name.